Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art a potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, you live still. We also want to welcome each one this morning to the house of the Lord. We're thankful for our brother's sincere prayer on my behalf and for each one of us. This morning, the topic is entitled, A Special Responsibility of the Body of Christ. As we're thinking of calling leaders in our congregation, God's congregation, we need to call men who are steadfast and sure. And this morning, as I speak on this subject, I'm trembling. I realize the seriousness of upholding the standards of God's word. And serving as an elder also, I realize we cannot meet these standards except through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're human, we fail, but we need His guidance above everything else. Monroe Hostetter from Ohio gave this account. He needed to build a new barn. He didn't know much about building, so he asked a neighbor how to mix the mortar to lay the concrete blocks. And the neighbor said, you mix it 13-1. Thinking I understood what he meant, I laid the first row of blocks. The next morning, I went out to check on the blocks, and I just pushed against them, and they fell off a footer. I asked my neighbor again. He said, I meant one bag of mortar mixed to 13 shovelfuls of sand. You know, his mistake would have been pretty serious if he had built the barn like that. But a much more serious mistake would be, as a church body, if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct in choosing leaders, we're calling for disaster. Any father who has a daughter that is approaching the age of marriage should have a deep concern for her as she considers choosing a life's companion. She will be leaving the security of your home to become a wife who is in subjection to a husband's leadership. The requirements need to be high. Will he provide for her materially, spiritually? Will he have a caring approach that will bring her happiness? And will he help her to become more Christ-like? This is a wholesome attitude toward married daughters. But even so, just so and even more, God the Father has a deep concern for His church, the bride of Christ. One of these days, Jesus is coming for His bride. As stated in Mark 13, He says, watch, be on your guard. His special care of His church is so important to Him that He devoted a major part of His ministry to those 12 apostles to take the leadership and the responsibility after His departure. Later, the Apostle Paul was led to instruct carefully the qualifications of church leaders that he devoted two major passages on this subject, 1 Timothy 3:13 and Titus 1:5-9. These are qualities that we as a church body should be looking for in choosing leaders, and also qualities that should be found in those who are already leading. You know, in a congregation our size, when there's larger families, it could very, very easily happen that we would just join together as families and put in the leadership who we desire instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to have His direction. T.G. Campbell, an elder in Scotland, said, and I quote, "The essential qualifications of the elder are that he loves God's Son, God's book, God's house, God's day, and God's footstool," unquote. A leader is one who knows a way. He goes a way, he shows a way, and he guides others in the right way. And when unqualified leaders make decisions and set the pace for the people of God, there are many heartaches and the loss of spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul left Titus on the island of Crete to establish a witness for Jesus Christ. Titus was to appoint leaders for the growing band of believers, and except for preaching the gospel, nothing Titus did for the Christians was more important than finding them the right leadership. In Acts chapter 6, we have an account here of the call of deacons. Some of the needs of the church were being neglected. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men." Take notice what it says. "Of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Every born-again child of God has an important role in the church. Every one of you, every one of us, to become more Christ-like and to share the salvation message with others. Each one may have a special calling. Maybe a special prayer life, a personal witness, maybe with your neighbors or whatever. But there's a few in the church fellowship who are called by the Lord to lead the flock. But we need to remember that this is God's church. And a greater responsibility is put on God's leaders. In James chapter 3 and verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." In other words, a greater responsibility is laid upon leaders. Matthew 23:1, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Sometimes we don't think of as leaders of being servants, but loved ones, anyone who's a leader needs to realize the burden for souls that we serve. It needs to be heavy on our hearts, a deep concern. It's a serious stuff. And that is why it's very important to call godly leaders and then pray daily for them. A leader needs to know clearly the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. One of the first things is the fact that we should worship God and glorify him here on earth. We should all be doing that. And a leader especially should be leading in that way. Secondly, the ministry of reconciliation to God and others. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, "In all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their righteousness unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Thirdly, is to develop each individual Christian until he attains until the fullness of Christ. That should be a leader's goal for the church. Fourthly, a constant witness for Christ and his word as the final authority. Not man's reasoning, but God's word as the final authority. And fifthly, to evangelize the world with the gospel. To fulfill these duties, the church needs leaders who have deep spiritual convictions that they're willing to live for, and if need be, to even die for. As we look at qualifications of spiritual leaders in God's word, we could list about 16 for bishops and elders, about 10 for deacons, and 4 for their wives. Before we look at them scriptures, I'd like to look at two other scriptures, one from Apostle Paul and one from Peter. Very serious instructions to godly leaders. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is a warning. The Apostle Paul spent 3 years telling them people to beware of false teachers that are going to come in among you. Are there any here at Pleasant Hill who are false teachers and are seeking honor for yourself and to turn us away from God's standards? Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, him also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You want to open your Bibles now to 1 Timothy chapter 3, or Titus 1:7. There's two outstanding words. There's one outstanding word I want to mention. It says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Must be blameless. Blameless is not perfect, but his life has not been marred by some obvious sinful defect in character that would hinder setting the high standard for God's conduct. One who deals with sin quickly and completely. Psalm 119:11, the word, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In 1 Timothy 3, 2-13, Paul lists four areas in which a church leader can be evaluated as whether he is blameless. The four areas are moral character, his home life, spiritual maturity, and public reputation. Let's look first at moral character. 1 Timothy 3, 1, 2, and 8. He must be blameless in these areas. The husband of one wife. A one-woman man. Take note, it says a husband. It says him, he, a man. A woman who is in place as an elder or minister of the gospel is not scriptural. The word of God is very plain. A husband, a him, a he, a man. He should be faithful in purity. He should be faithful in devotion in his heart and mind to the woman who is his wife. He shouldn't have other desires to associate with other women in the wrong way. Vigilant means alert, watchful, guard against all forms of evil activities that harm spiritual growth. And there's so many things today that can get involved in the church that draws our people away from God's will. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 describes church leaders as those who watch for your souls. Are we watching for souls? As we should be as leaders this morning. Sober, prudent, balanced in judgment, serious about spiritual things. Do we deal with concerns carefully? Of good behavior, a spirit-controlled life, well-disciplined, an example of holiness, prompt for appointments, be on time, given to hospitality, to love and welcome strangers, older folks, troubled folks. We should have a shepherd's heart. A shepherd is concerned about every one of the sheep within the flock. Apt to teach. One who works hard in studying the scriptures. One who has an attitude of humility and loved ones, that's so needful. Today, the philosophy is to make a name for yourself and let people know who you are instead of humility. One who is marked by the life of holiness. One who uses the scripture to refute false doctrine. One who is able to give guidance through God's word. Verse 3, not given to wine, no striker, not guilty. Greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness. Not given to wine, no drinker of strong drink. No striker, not quarrelsome, not violent with his tongue or his hands. Well-mannered and respectful to others. Not greedy of filthy lucre. The gaining of material riches must not be his goal, because his affections are beset on things above. What is his goal in life? Possessions or souls? Patient. We need to make allowances for the slowness and awkwardness he sees in others. Accepts criticism when misunderstood. And I'll guarantee you, as a leader, you need that in your life. Accept criticism when you try to do your best and you're misunderstood. Not a brawler, which means peaceful. Not impulsive when problems arise. Not covetous. Not greedy for others' possessions or even for others' positions. Verses 4 and 12. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 12. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. How is his home life? The church is not a business. The church is a family. What is he like at home with his wife and his children? One that ruleth well his own home, a model in his own house or home, has authority over his family, spiritual leadership in the home. How much tenderness does he show for his wife? Does he meet the needs of each child? Does he lead his children to salvation and holiness? How does he handle money and possessions? Is he easy to live with? If his home life is not under his control, the church will not be either. Verse 4, the last part, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Children should be respectful, well-disciplined, and believers. Not perfect, but under control of a godly father. Titus 1 and verse 6, if any be blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. There's 5 keys I like to share to have children bring honor to their parents. A father must exercise their authority that demands obedience. That is so important in a family. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Secondly, children may not challenge your father's authority, yet they should understand clearly why daddy or the father is expecting of them. Thirdly, children should be motivated to obey because they do not want their intimate love relationship with him to be hindered. Make sure we call leaders who have children who are intimate with their father. A father must be able to convince his children of the urgency, the priority, and the privilege of salvation and obedience to the word of God. A church leader is responsible for leading people to God, to holiness, to obedience, to witness. Crucial matters that must be tested in his own home first. Resolving conflict, building unity, maintaining love, and serving each other are essentials to the church life that are first tested or challenged in the home. Thirdly, we'll look at spiritual maturity. Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Not newly baptized. Pride will be a great danger facing the overseer. A gifted person will be greatly tested. Power and control is very dangerous. It needs to be time for training, for seeking humility, and as an essential qualifications. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Joseph was a servant in Egypt 13 years before he became a ruler. Moses cared for sheep for 40 years before God could use him. He needs to be a man of God who spends much time on his knees before God. Fourthly, his public reputation. What do his neighbors and his friends and his enemies think of him? Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without. Righteousness, moral character, love, kindness, generosity, and goodness. Although all those you're around will not agree with your philosophy, but it needs to be one known for walking in the ways of the Lord. One who pays his bills on time. One who's as good as his word. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Philippians 2:15, that they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. How's his business dealings? Is he fair to employees? How does he tip in restaurants, or is he a poor light to those who work in those areas? I read an account of an older man years ago, a minister, who was riding on a trolley. And as he got off the trolley driver gave him too much change. And at first he thought it wasn't very much, you know, you could just keep it. But then it seemed like the Spirit told him to go back and give this to the trolley driver. The trolley driver said, I was in your church yesterday. I was just testing you out. How many people are watching our lives more carefully than what we watch our own? The devil's snare, his desire, is to discredit the gospel. The last part of verse 7 says, lest you fall into reproach and snare the devil. We should have a good report. Leaders face many temptations because of the position they're in. Discouragement. A godly leader is concerned for members who walk with God. And when they walk away from God, it's a burden. We get discouraged. We may lay awake at night praying, concerned. Another area is too busy in life's demands. Neglect to discipline themselves to do what they need to be done. We know somebody needs to be visited. We know someone needs encouragement. But are we too busy to take care of it? A big area is compromise. Peer pressure is very heavy among ministers. I have served in ministry for many years, and I have seen the peer pressure on ministers. The peer pressure is to be liked by everyone. If we're serving the Lord faithfully, you're not going to be liked by everyone. I'll guarantee you that. They face all the temptations that are common to all Christians. They more than anyone else need God's armor in their life. Verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. A wife, whether a deacon's wife or a minister's wife, should be serious about her husband's calling. She should be very careful of the use of her tongue. Many times we as ministers or deacons hear things that happen in the church we need to pray about, we need to be concerned about, but we should not talk to other people about unless it's with a prayer concern. And sisters, be careful of that, very careful. Thirdly, you should be faithful to the Lord, to the church, to your husband, and to the family. The biblical standards for church leadership are personal Christian character qualities, not college or seminary degrees, not business administrative skills, or personal friendliness to be popular. God's word reminds us those Christian character's qualities that reveal a deep-seated faith, reflecting integrity, maturity, and stability are also so needful in our leader's life. Christian character is what we do when no one is looking but God. A leader needs to be an example of holiness. The Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy as a young man in 1 Timothy 4. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We need to remember as leaders that we are working with eternal souls that will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I believe there's three questions that need to be answered in calling leaders to serve the Lord's church. The first is a personal question. Does his unseen life square with his seen life? Is he for real or just a fake? Is he spirit-led? You know, when they called deacons, they called anyone to the service of God, it was important that they were filled with spirit, spirit-led. Secondly, the domestic question, how would his family vote? Is he a godly leader in his home? A godly leader who has a burden for his family and for all others. Thirdly, a public question, would the community be shocked or would they have respect because he was a Christ-like man? Very serious questions that need to be answered. Calling and having spiritual leaders accountable is a serious responsibility of the body of Christ. And that includes every one of us. We should spend much time in prayer and seeking the will of the Lord in calling leaders. Oh, how God desires spiritual-filled men to lead the flock who will be faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's word does not say we're required to be successful, popular, well-liked because we go along with worldly standards. It says we are to be faithful. We as Christians are in a battle. Godly leaders are Satan's main target. They will need you. Every one of us, they will need us to uphold their hands, as Brother Ray said, in prayer and encouragement. You know, the question is asked sometimes, how do working men shepherd the church and still maintain a godly family life and employment? They do it by self-sacrifice. No one knows what that is until you serve in that capacity. They do it by self-sacrifice, self-discipline, faith, perseverance, hard work, but most of all, the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your time and attention.